Our employees have to navigate roughly 10 million interactions across a very wide web of systems and applications, which we believe is somewhat fragmented and also adds complexity. So we started out with a question or a proof of concept or experiment. And what we found was that the degree of accuracy that we were able to get by deploying GenAI was very high, and that it could truly act as a good assist for our employees who are a part of our contact center. And as we then further looked into our processes is when we decided that we wanted to use this as a capability across all of our employees.
Hello and welcome to the season's finale of Where AI Works, conversations at the intersection of AI and industry, brought to you by Wharton in collaboration with Accenture. I'm your host, Sergey Nitesin, Professor of Operations, Information and Decisions at the Wharton School, and I'm also a Senior Vice Dean for Innovation and Global Initiatives. It's our goal to cut through the noise to deliver actionable insights for business leaders by combining cutting-edge research with real-world case studies. Things are changing fast, so without further ado, let's dive in.
AI has the potential to change many ways in which we've thought about society, about what we're able to do.
We have the opportunity to leverage this change, to innovate, to be creative, and to find new opportunities for growth.
This is going to impact every product across every company, and we are just in early days.
On this final episode of Season 2, we are going to discuss how artificial intelligence is transforming service infrastructure in one of the world's most complex and highly regulated industries, pharmaceuticals and medical technology. AI has the potential not just to automate tasks, but to augment workflows, advance decision-making, and reimagine how people and processes come together at scale. In my own research at Wharton and in research of others, we've learned that AI works in applications like coding. There is lots of evidence for that. There is some evidence that it works in consulting, but there is really limited evidence that we've seen so far in the context of such a large and complex organization. Which is why today, joining me for this conversation, it's my pleasure to introduce a man who oversees strategic planning, data management, intelligent automation, and much more at one of the world's most influential medtech and pharmaceutical companies. Ajay Anand is the Senior Vice President of Global Services, Strategy, and Business Services at Johnson & Johnson. Ajay, welcome to Where AI Works.
Sergey, great to be here and look forward to talking to you about AI.
It's great to have you here to wrap up our season of the podcast. Before we dive into AI conversation, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at Johnson & Johnson?
So as you said, I'm a part of our shared services organization in Johnson & Johnson called Global Services. As a shared services organization, we deliver HR, procurement, finance, and commercial services to our employees, customers, and suppliers. We are focused on helping increasing and improving J&J's competitive advantage, simplifying ways of working for all of our employees, and continuing to improve experience for our customers, suppliers, and employees. We were launched about 10 years back. In addition to all the great work that we are doing in the services space, we also have some really strong capabilities, whether it's around data management, continuous improvement, transformation, to name a few. And digital is one of our core capabilities. And we take pride in being a company that prioritizes and operates with a digital-first mindset. What that means is integrating digital into our ways of working and constantly and continuously reimagining all of our processes and services. And today, as we continue to talk, I'm going to talk about one of the key examples called Jada, which is J&J's AI digital assistant, which has been launched to our 138,000 employees and something that we're very actively involved in and very proud of.
So really, it sounds like your organization is kind of a backbone of Johnson & Johnson, if you will.
Yeah, it's very well said, Sergey. Our CEO actually calls Global Services the backbone of Johnson & Johnson because of our role across many of our processes that serve employees, customers, and suppliers. Well said.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for this background. So let's jump right into AI and tell us a little bit about how AI is being integrated in those global services and how AI is contributing to the broader use at Johnson & Johnson.
So artificial intelligence is integrated into many of our services and our processes. As I said earlier, I'm going to use the J&J AI digital assistant, also called Jada, that we use to serve our 138,000 employees as an example to go deeper. Our employees have to navigate roughly 10 million interactions across a very wide web of systems and applications, which we believe is somewhat fragmented and also adds complexity in the journey of our employees. And what we are doing with Jada Gen AI, which we have in production at this point with a few aspects of how we serve our employees and our customers, is number one, simplify the ways of working for our employees. As you said when you were kicking it off, we also see Gen AI and AI as a very good way of assisting our employees when they're dealing with a lot of complexity. We're using Jada in our contact center where an agent has to navigate through a lot of different policies when they're responding to an employee, as an example. So we use Jada as a way to assist them. In commercial, we are using it for order management so that the associates who are working with our customers are able to do it. We also view it as a very good capability to augment our employees where you have to navigate a lot of information, where a lot of complexities, where AI can help them with a good starting point. And we have seen this in contracting as an example. And what we are striving for is maximizing the degree to which we are able to enable our employees with self-service in the future, leveraging AI. So that's one example that I would share with you that we are super excited about and continue to integrate deeper into the experience of our employees in J&J.
So how did you start on this journey? Was it immediately kind of an enterprise-wide implementation, or was it a series of small experiments with one kind of a service at a time and then going deeper and deeper?
So we started out with a question or a proof of concept or experiment, as you may want to call it, where we wanted to look at what the real power of AI and Gen AI would be in this specific example. As I said, we are applying AI very broadly across all of our services and processes. And what we found was that in our early experiments, the degree of accuracy that we were able to get by deploying Gen AI was very high. And we found that it could truly act as a good assist for our employees who are a part of our contact center. And as we then further looked into our processes and these complexities that I talked about, specifically the 10 million interactions that are fragmented, is when we decided that we wanted to use this as a capability across all of our employees. So it started with an experiment and a pilot.
What kind of KPIs did you use to assess how much help AI offers, how much productivity is enhanced by using AI tools?
Sergey, great question. So in Johnson & Johnson and in Global Services, we use a framework, we call it our 3E framework, where one of the E stands for experience. How are we able to use AI in this case to help transform the experience for our employees, our customers, our suppliers? Are we able to show that the experience became simpler, it became faster, it became optimized, and we have metrics associated with it? We are able to measure their satisfaction using KPIs like CSAT or Net Promoter Score. The second E stands for effectiveness, our ability to show that we have taken some of our core processes and they are now able to deliver better outcomes and better results, and we have made the process better. A good example would be, have we improved the forecasting capability that we have? And then the third one is around efficiency. Are we able to show that by utilizing AI, we are able to do things faster? We are able to do things with a lower cost to serve. We are seeing fewer errors associated with the work. And I'm very happy to share that what we have found is in all cases, with the work that we are doing with AI, we have seen tremendous impact across all three of those E's. And then we are able to connect them to some of our mega KPIs at J&J level, which is what has led to very senior levels of sponsorship and excitement for this effort.
So to wrap up first part, we hear that implementation of AI went in this sequence of small experiments, targeted experiments, and then now it basically consumed the entire company, started with maybe contact centers as kind of an assistant, and now it's kind of weaved through the fabric of the company. The reason this decision was made is because really on all the KPIs that you measured, net promoter score, effectiveness, cost to serve, reduction of errors, AI outperformed your expectations, which is why decision was made to go all the way forward with a digital first implementation of AI. I want to ask you, Ajay, how did implementation of AI impact workforce dynamics? How do you now think about metrics performance? How did the nature of work evolve for your employees? And most of your employees, I imagine, these are white-collar employees, so they have intellectual work. So how do you think about this collaboration between these transformative technologies and your employees?
Great question, Sergey. What I would highlight is that we saw a very strong adoption from our employees, mainly based on one key aspect associated with automation and AI as a capability. And it's specifically the ability for employees to shift their time to more value creation, their ability to work on more high impact and strategic work for Johnson & Johnson. And as I said earlier, what we saw is that this is acting as a capability that can assist the employees. It can augment them in a way to amplify their overall impact. And that then lead to increased level of engagement in our employees and us just seeing increased effectiveness. What we have also seen is, I'll use contact center as an example. This has led to our contact center associates being able to acquire new digital skills. And that's just driven a very high degree of excitement and engagement from them. And as you pointed out, we are also seeing that this is leading to creation of new roles, which is requiring us to work on upskilling strategies for our employees.
That's a really tremendous impact. Can you do a bit of a deep dive on metrics that you used for assessing effectiveness of employees now that they are supplemented with these AI tools? Did this change, or could you just continue using the same effectiveness metrics as you used before?
Yeah, I'll speak to some macro level themes associated with it so that I don't have to get into any specific metrics associated with it. We'll look at the ability for our employees to have capacity to do more strategic work. We have seen that improve. We have also seen this creating, and again, I'll stick with the contact center example, our employees now being able to get exposed to more cross-functional work than what they have done in the past. And as a result, their cross-functional acumen is increasing. We have seen the ability of our employees to start working with more complex cases, if you will, as a result of how AI has been able to augment them.
Can you say anything about how you now think in terms of hiring people, selecting people, interviewing people? Do you require any new skills from your employees, or is it kind of more or less unchanged?
So there are some changes. I'm not going to be able to get into the specifics. The one part that I will say is that we are certainly using AI as a capability within what we do in global services to also assist our talent acquisition team with doing the same thing that I talked about with contact center. How are we going to use AI to assist them, augment them in the work that they do around talent acquisition?
Okay, wonderful. So what I'm hearing is that there was a tremendous impact of AI on employees. Employees are now able to spend more time on creating value and spending less time on non-value-adding tasks. We see increased engagement from employees. We see employees developing new digital skills. In particular, there is more cross-functional training and cross-functional work that became possible because it's easier to learn adjacent areas for an employee using AI tools. And of course, there is an impact on talent acquisition as well. So it sounds like the workforce was really affected in positive ways. What can you tell us about your outlook for the future for these AI tools that J&J is now using? What lessons can you share with other business leaders who are just thinking maybe about implementing those AI tools? And also, what are you thinking about next step in global services? How will you continue evolving the role of AI for J&J?
I'll answer that in two parts just to make sure that I share my thoughts effectively. So as I think about the future of AI for us in global services at J&J, as you also said, we are the backbone of J&J. The breadth and depth of everything we do in global services plays a very, very crucial role in value creation for Johnson & Johnson. And keeping that in mind, our goal is to continue to transform into an AI-first enabled digital operating model and also embracing intelligent operations in everything we do so that we are able to shorten cycle time, improve our decision making, continue to make strides in what I shared around our three E's: improved experience, improved effectiveness, and improved efficiency. What we have also seen with the breadth and depth of all the work that we do across many of our key processes that serve our employees, suppliers, customers, and other stakeholders is global services has to play a very key role in ensuring that our content and data quality is where it needs to be. So our ability to play a role in driving AI-ready data and content is significant. What we have also seen is that we have to continue to play a key role in bringing in what I call external lens with our peers and many partners to help drive ideation, help with focusing on the right priorities across all the various partners that we work with to serve these stakeholders. And then finally, I'll say our ability to really measure and trace value, right? ROI is critical in continuing to drive traction from our senior leaders and all stakeholders. So that's what I would share around future vision as it relates to part two of your question around what might be the advice that I would have for our peers and others as they engage in the space, whether it's with traditional AI, generative AI, or agentic AI. Number one, developing a strategic mindset, as opposed to looking at AI as a technology or as a tool. How do you go about integrating it into your business model? How do you use it as a way to reimagine your business model, your strategies and processes is number one. Number two is getting very strong leadership support. So we are fortunate to have the support from our senior most leaders on all the work that we are doing in this space, but that becomes extremely critical. Focusing on change management is another topic. Right. So this is where you're introducing new ways of thinking, new ways of working, having a very strong narrative that can be embraced by your employees and other stakeholders is critical. So focusing on change management becomes really key. I talked about responsible use of AI earlier, which is a foundational element of being successful. Creating a culture of learning and experiment. You talked about how our journey started with us wanting to do some experiment and POC with this new space. I'll then get into storytelling. What we have found is that when you have good impact with some of these use cases, how do you go about sharing that success story in a way that momentum breeds more momentum, which has been really key as we have continued to scale this across all of our processes. And then finally, just staying on top in a very proactive way to manage all of your external risks becomes extremely key.
That's a great list. Yeah, of course, there are, you know, technological part of innovation, but then there is organizational change and culture change and making sure that stakeholders are engaged and involved. And that very often is the hardest part for a big company like Johnson & Johnson, I imagine. Quick follow-up on this. As you develop these AI capabilities, are you continuing to do this internally? Are there any thoughts on partnering with startups versus doing these advancements internally versus partnering maybe with some big tech companies? How do you think about this splitting innovation between inside the company and outside the company? Because obviously for pharmaceutical company, it's very common to co-develop drugs, co-develop technology with other companies, with other startups. Do you think the same way about AI, or is it different in your mind?
Great question. And you also gave me a point that I can use to respond, very similar to what we do in our normal ways of working as a business, as you pointed out. We obviously look to leverage our overall ecosystem, but by being very mindful of responsible use of AI, managing all the risk exposure and all the other factors that are very critical in this space. So it is at leveraging the full power of our ecosystem.
Yeah, that's great to hear. We just finished the report on collaboration between big companies and startups, and certainly it looks like in the AI space, a lot of big companies are going in the way of collaborating a lot with external organizations and thinking about leveraging ecosystems. So that is great to hear. Any last thoughts, any last advice to executives at other companies?
My only point that comes to mind beyond what I just shared as some thoughts for other peers and senior leaders is it's a very dynamic and agile space, and staying connected with what's going on in the industry, with your peers and other partners in the ecosystem becomes extremely critical, and just the need to be highly adaptive as a result of how dynamic this environment is.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ajay. This has been a really insightful conversation and a great way to wrap up the second season of the podcast. Thank you, Ajay, for taking time to share your expertise with us here on Where AI Works.
Thank you, Sergey.
Now, let me review a couple of takeaways from conversation with Ajay. So once again, we see that AI implementation is a very dynamic space, and you really need to stay connected. You really need to stay involved in the industry and understand what are the new tools coming up. And beyond all, you need to experiment. As you saw, once again, Johnson & Johnson started AI implementation from smaller experiments, looking at a number of KPIs, assessing them, and then moving forward area by area, job function by job function. And what we see in case of Johnson & Johnson is a great example where AI lives in harmony with humans. AI lives in harmony with white-collar workers who became more efficient, who became more productive. They spend more time on value creation. They develop new digital skills and cross-functional training. And this is likely a blueprint for implementation for other large companies, which will need to think carefully about processes like change management, think about stakeholder involvement, think about ability to experiment and getting support from the very top of the company. Otherwise, a big initiative like this would probably fail. That's a wrap up on season 2 of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed those conversations and learned something along the way. Season 3 is coming soon. It will be hosted by my colleague, Professor Peter Capelli. Be sure to follow us so you don't miss an episode. This has been Where AI Works, conversations at the intersection of AI and industry, brought to you by the Wharton School in collaboration with Accenture. I am Sergey Nitesin. Bye for now.